My guest in the Global Observatory today is Margaret Vogt, mediator in residence at United Nations headquarters and formerly special representative and head of the United Nations Integrated Peacebuilding Office in the Central African Republic. Thank you so much for being with us today, Margaret.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Ms. Vogt, your current post at headquarters allows you to reflect on your experiences and draw lessons for future UN mediation endeavours. And today I'd like to talk to you in particular about women in mediation and in peace processes. What effect can it have on peace processes when women are at the negotiating table, whether as mediators, members of negotiating delegations, or in some other form?
It's critical for women to be at the negotiating table, whether or not it has an effect, because they constitute more than 50% of the population. And if we are promoting democratic ethos, we should make sure that all the constituencies are at the table. I'm saying this because we often argue that, oh, they should be there because they bring something special. We do not say that men should be at the peace table because they bring something special. Women, of course, do bring something special, but when you choose the right women, if you choose the right women to come to the conference, to the table, as well as if you choose the right men, then they would bring to the table issues that are fundamental. For example, in the processes that I have handled, I tried to go to the grassroots to really identify women who know what is happening within their communities, who have the courage to speak out, to speak to the issues affecting their community, who can tell truth to power, to say, look, no, it is not true that the rebels have stopped attacking because they're still attacking us. It is not true that the government has stopped arresting people indiscriminately because it is still happening. So it is important to have the right women at the table, just as it is important to have the right men.
If it is so critical, and I think it's widely recognized on paper that it is, why is it so difficult to get them to the table in practice?
Because in the final analysis, the conflict is about power, and it's a power game. And in most of these games, women are not there. So when it comes to discussing peace on the table, the participants, the negotiators, see it as an opportunity to renegotiate, to negotiate power. And they want to restrict the domain as much as possible. They don't want competition for sharing. Unfortunately, even people whom you think would support the participation of women, even many civil society groups whom you think would welcome the participation of women, come with men because they know that this is our opportunity to get into the game, and we don't want competition. So women also have to understand the fact that it all boils down to negotiating for power. And we have to, as members of the international community, position them, because they do deserve to be there. They do deserve to be there to ensure that in the final configuration of whatever comes out, they would be represented. Because most of the time, when they're excluded, they are also excluded in what follows, in any political arrangement that follows.
So what can the international community do, and in particular, special representatives of the Secretary General and other lead mediators, what can they do to bring them to the table?
I'll tell you what I have done, and done successfully in many instances, and sometimes not so successfully. Number one, by insisting that, you know, there are international resolutions now on the need for women to be at the table. You use those instruments and say, look, you cannot, every delegation must have some representation of women. Where I have tried it, it has been very strongly resisted, but we've pushed it through, ensuring that at least, you know, we wanted 2 out of 5. I started with 3 out of 5. I ended up in many of the delegations with only 1 out of 5, but we insisted on it. If we had not insisted, the women would not have been there. Secondly, I created a resource group of women, an advisory group to the SRSG, of women who are known, who are eminent, who are respected, and whom I could bring. I don't need anybody's permission to bring them. You know, so I could bring them to the table to be part of the discourse. we had resistance sometimes, we found a way to get their voices in. So we can do more of this. You know, as representatives of the international organization, insist more, use our own good offices more, use our own powers more to push the agenda. But it is critical for us, and I learned this from experience also, it is critical for us to ensure that the women we bring in are women who really will speak for the women, because it is not always evident.
So when you did bring women in as part of the negotiating delegations or in your resource group, what impact did it have on the outcome, do you think?
Through that, we were able to introduce issues which would not have been there. For example, in the Central Africa Republic, the last, the Libreville Peace Agreement has a provision which is the first of its kind, that the parties committed to end gender-based violence and to pay reparations to victims of gender-based violence. Unfortunately, that hasn't stopped them from committing the offenses, but at least they are committed to an agreement that holds them to the fire. And this was possible because we pushed so hard. We worked through the women on the delegation to push and to put these issues on the table, that it is just not acceptable.
Did you find it useful to have a gender advisor at your side when you were working in the Libreville negotiations, for example?
Extremely. Extremely useful to have a gender advisor throughout a conflict situation. Many of the women who are impacted at the grassroots level in the communities feel they have an access to the SRSG through the gender advisor. Because we've been so active within the communities and in the provinces, they all had her telephone number. So when things erupted, they called her. Please tell the SRSG that this is happening. Please tell the SRSG that this is what we want. This is what we would like to see. So she became a conduit of the views of women within the communities to the negotiating table. And she was able to give me an up-to-date update of what was happening. So when we were in Libreville, I could tell the heads of state that, look, this is happening in Bria, this is happening in Busangoa, because the women have just called me to tell me so. And she was the conduit of that, and it became very powerful. So when some of the rebel groups were saying, no, it's not happening, I had counter-information, and I was able to put it on the table. Secondly, she did a lot to coach the women on the delegation, to help them couch their issues and to present them. She also did a lot of coaching with my women's resource group to help them draw up a strategic plan and to help them position themselves to influence in a situation that is extremely difficult, where women, the role of women is not well accepted. You know, it's an uphill battle. So we need more of that.
So do you think if the lead mediator or the SRSG is not a woman, for example, a gender advisor could really play an important role there?
Me as a woman, I needed a gender advisor because I couldn't be anywhere, everywhere. And because not everybody could reach me, but through her, they know they could access me. An SRSG that is a man would also require that kind of resource. I think we need more than one. We need a whole team of people. My poor gender advisor had to run around like a headless chicken because she's the only one. Can you imagine if we had had two or three doing that?
There are still very few women in senior peacemaking positions at the UN. Why do you think that is?
For the same reason, isn't it? It's all about power. Politics is about power. How many delegations that are represented in the UN, how many women are heads of their delegations, even in the UN here? We can do a head count. The situation has improved, but still leaves a lot to be demanded. The Secretary General has done a lot in increasing the number of women that he has appointed into senior positions. He's really made it his cardinal focus to target women and to promote them. But member states also have to play that their role. More women have to be given the opportunity to serve their country, because it's an opportunity to service. somehow when it comes to women, the qualifications hit the roof.
Ms. Vogt, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.